Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Daily. I'm Tommy Kester, Paul Savage in for Jacob Albrecht today. Jad Chambers producing the program. That IHOP hotline is open the rest of the way at 869-1240. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, for just $6 Monday through Friday. Jad, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second. We talked about something a little while ago in regards to Wichita State women's basketball. We have a schedule update for that game today, correct?
Yes, we do. The Wichita State women's basketball game scheduled for 11 o'clock, so they had an early game. They have delayed it until at least 11:45.
Okay, so if you are on your way out to go see Shocker women's basketball their season, there's going to be a little bit of a delay this morning.
Yeah, may have just enough time to stop somewhere and grab something for breakfast or something.
There you go. Like, how about IHOP?
Exactly.
You can have the new IHOP house faves. All your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday.
I like the way you think of times.
How about that segue? Wasn't that great?
I think that was tremendous.
Yeah. Thinking on the spot.
That's why you're the lead host and I'm not.
That's what we do here on this program. just a little scheduling update there is Terry Nooner's squad kicking off their season here later this morning. But due to travel delays, looks like that game will be starting a little bit later than what was originally scheduled for Shocker women's basketball. Hour number two of the program here continues. By the way, you can always watch our video stream on YouTube, on Facebook, on X. You can leave your video comments right there on the screen for us to see and respond to. You can also leave your voice messages by opening up and listening to our show on the Odyssey app, clicking on the microphone button. It's kind of like leaving us a voicemail. We'll get those messages. We'll play them back here on the air. We'll respond to them that way. So a multitude of different ways to get involved here on the program on this Monday morning. We spent a majority of hour number one talking about Kansas State football. Let's switch over to the NFL, Paul, and we talked about some of the firings that happened in the last 12 to 24 hours in the NFL in our last segment. But let's talk about, you know, more of just our overall reactions from the NFL. We'll talk about the Chiefs and Monday Night Football coming up here in a little bit. But just overall reactions from the day in the NFL. I mean, I think that there are several. I think the fact that the Bills were able to win that divisional matchup against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins came on strong, but the Bills were able to get that game-winning field goal to seal the deal at home. I think that was big for them and their push to be one of the major contenders in the AFC. I thought the Ravens looked really good and kind of bounced back from what they had done a week ago in losing against the Browns. I thought that was a good bounce back win for the Ravens. Big takeaways for you from what you could tell yesterday?
Well, one, I think I've already asked you a little bit, but of course, Detroit, I think they're for real. I think,
yeah. Well, they are.
I think they're a good football team, and I really enjoyed watching that game. It was a rainy day. It was outdoors. And here's what I wasn't quite aware of. This is their first game outdoors. I hadn't really thought about it. I guess I should have understood that. You know, they play indoors at home, and they've played wherever they've played on the road so far. They've been indoors. First game outdoors. Cold, rainy, wet, tough to place to play, Lambeau Field. It's a difficult environment to start with, and then let alone the rain and the cold. So they're for real because they showed me that they can play outdoors. And I love the press conference with Dan Campbell where he says, "Oh, we played outside? Well, we're built to play anywhere. We don't care." I mean, you know, that was his attitude. Outdoors? Well, I don't care. You want us to play us outdoors? Schedule it. We don't care where we play. We'll play indoor. We'll play outdoor. We don't care.
Yeah.
And I really like that. So that was one of my big takeaways is that I'm actually almost believing that the Lions, if things fall correctly and they avoid more injuries, I said more injuries, they avoid more injuries, this is a team that could be in the Super Bowl. It could be in the Super Bowl. That's my number one takeaway. And my other takeaway is what a fiasco Dallas is. Mm. What a fiasco Dallas is. All the money that team is worth, it's the most valuable franchise, professional athletic franchise in the world. And it's a fiasco. And, of course, Dak getting hurt. I don't know. Did you see the replay where he got hurt?
I did, yeah.
Pulled a ham.
Yep.
And you can pull a ham anywhere, anytime, any place. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And it's obvious he did because you see the close-up of him grimacing and you know something's wrong. And, you know, hammies are funny. You don't always come back from them pretty quick. They're a funny thing. They're a weird injury. Hamstrings can be very, very difficult. They can be easy, but most of them are very, very difficult. Dallas is my other point. So I went from the good to the ugly, and I think right now Dallas might be one of the worst two or three teams in the NFL at this moment with everything going on and with Dak going down. If Dak plays again next week, I will be stunned because it's a hamstring.
Let's go back to the good very briefly,
right,
because I have a question about the Lions that I thought about you while this game was on, because I thought it was just a fun game to watch. And, you know, like you mentioned, the elements were in full effect at Lambeau and all of that. There's been this narrative for so long about Jared Goff playing outdoors and how good he is and how good the Lions are when they're playing in a dome, whether they're at home or they're on the road indoors. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
But there's always been this narrative that Jared Goff can't play outside. Now, he didn't light the world on fire by any means. But again, from a weather perspective, there was only so much you could do. He was efficient, and he took care of the ball. I mean, he was 18 of 22, only threw for 145 yards. But it wasn't a day that you were going to air it out big time anyway. Yeah. Do you think that a game like that breaks the narrative? Or do you think that that will just kind of continue, and that's kind of his calling card?
By the way, with the kind of day it was, you're going to line up and run the football. You're going to come off the ball, you're going to get movement, and you're going to run the ball, and you're going to be happy with 4 or 5 yards every time you run the football. And that's what you're going to do. But those are the kind of games those were the kind of days for those kind of games. You know, rainy, wet, cold, tougher to catch a ball, you know, all those kind of things. So it showed me that, and the defense was just outstanding, let alone with the big loss that they had with Hutchinson last was it 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago, yeah, when they lost Hutchinson.
I've lost track of time, a couple weeks ago. And let me tell you, there's a big fall off because I watched that position. I watched the defensive end, and I can't remember his name, who it was, but it's a big, big fall off. I mean, with aggressiveness, with footwork, with everything. You know, Hutchinson is an artist. I use the word artist because it's really an art. You know, pass rush techniques are an art, and he was a masterpiece with that. But this is a team that just is solid everywhere. If I was to ask you, Tommy, where do the Lions need improvement other than the defensive injury, that one position? What would you say? Because that's a pretty solid football team. I'd say everybody needs to improve. You always need to improve. But what's the one thing? I don't know that I have a one thing.
I mean, I think that maybe, I mean, Jordan Love threw for a lot of yards in a game where it wasn't built, like the game wasn't set up for a lot of yards through the air. And Jordan Love got him for almost 300 yards. So I don't know if that's a secondary thing for the Lions.
Maybe it is.
Ultimately, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
The Lions get the win, and it's a really important divisional win. You know, just because of that race. The fact that the Vikings, I think, were able to knock off the Colts to keep pace in the division is really important. And I've said for quite a while now, I wholeheartedly believe that the NFC North is the most difficult division in the NFL. But on the other side, I know you mentioned the Cowboys as being the worst, like most disappointed.
I'm very disappointed.
I was most disappointed in the Chicago Bears.
Because I got you.
The Cardinals are okay. The Cardinals are better, like they're improved. And when you've got, you know, the dynamic receiver and Marv Harrison out there, like that improves them significantly.
Yes, it does.
But they're not world beaters, and they made the Bears look really, really bad on Sunday. And I know Caleb Williams got dinged up a little bit in that game. The Bears only put up 9 points. I thought they were better than that. I thought that they would make it competitive. In fact, I thought they would win the game. I thought they would beat the Cardinals on the road.
Caleb Williams gotten dinged up 2 weeks in a row. He seems to be his operating procedure right now is to get dinged up a little bit. Not bad enough to keep you out or anything, but, you know, dinged up is dinged up. But with that being said, Caleb Williams is the biggest disappointment to me in the entire NFL. Here he is, the number one draft pick. How would you rather have a young man at quarterback for the Washington Commanders on your Chicago Bears team? Because that's who I wanted to be picked first. That's who I wanted to go first was Jalen Daniels. That was to me.
And all Jaden Daniels has done is lead the Commanders to a 7-2 record.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy for them yesterday against the Giants in a divisional game. The Giants came back in the fourth quarter and made it a ball game, but Daniels was able to, you know, lead them to a victory. And it sounds like I read a report the other day, I think it was Adam Schefter that reported that players in advance of the trade deadline are requesting to go to the Commanders. They want to play with Jaden Daniels.
Absolutely.
That, you know, what does that tell? That tells me that, I mean, obviously people think that he's a dynamic quarterback. And what's funny, Paul, is that it opens the door to this whole debate about, is it better to have a rookie quarterback sit for a while and learn, or is it better to have a rookie quarterback just jump right in? And I think the jury is still out because you've got Caleb Williams on one hand, not really working great right now. You've got Jaden Daniels on the other hand, it is working really well. Anthony Richardson, they threw him into the fire, the Colts did a year ago. Then they benched him for Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there is a one-size-fits-all mentality, but the fact that Jaden Daniels has been able to lead this team to a 7-2 record, I think they're winning the division. I think that they're better than the Eagles are. They're clearly better than the Giants. They're clearly better than the Cowboys. I think Washington wins this division. I think they make a playoff run.
Boy, the upside is unbelievable. I would have never said what just came out of your lips just now. Would you have ever dreamed 6 to 8 weeks ago this is what you would have said, those words? Because I wouldn't have. You
probably not. I like Jaden Daniels a lot.
Well, but you didn't know him at the time, and now you know that this is really good football player. And on the other hand, having watched Hard Knocks with the Chicago Bears preseason, you could see that there's a distance between the game of football and the persona of Caleb Williams. I mean, it's most football players at the NFL level, this is their everything. You know, other than your family, this is your everything. I didn't get that sense watching him on Hard Knocks. I didn't get that sense. Now, what's keeping Chicago Bears fans sane is they got pretty good defense. Defense pretty good. Defense is keeping them in games. Believe it or not, defense is keeping them in games. But Caleb Williams is a disaster, and I believe that might be one. You asked me what are you watching in the NFL?
Yeah,
what's your take? That's one of the big ones. The first round draft pick is. Do I dare say the word bust? Should I?
Bears.
How about disappointment? Is that a better?
The Bears are 4-4.
Yeah.
Right. So they're not 0-8. They're not 2-6. They're 4-4. There's a lot of talent on that team.
Lots.
They've got probably, probably objectively the best receiving core in the NFL.
That's right.
With Adunze and Allen and DJ Moore, like they're loaded.
Loaded at receiver and
loaded
great
at receiver
defense.
And great defense.
This team should be better than 4-4.
They don't have a running back. They don't have a running game. That's an issue, I think.
Well, Caleb Williams can take off any
time. But they don't have a dedicated. I mean, their run game could be a whole lot better.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Could be a whole lot better.
I got you.
So that was probably my biggest disappointment from yesterday was just the way that the Bears played against the Cardinals. But a close second to that, for me, the Cowboys. And you mentioned them before.
Yeah.
And I know there's quite a few Cowboys fans in this area. They're 3-5. They're worse than 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And it's just the drama continues because you've got Dak, obviously, dealing with an injury. I thought Cooper Rush actually looked better than Dak did when he took over for Dak, in the third quarter. I think Rush is probably a better quarterback, or at least even with Dak Prescott at this point.
Right.
Then you add in the drama with Ezekiel Elliott not playing in the game for disciplinary reasons. He was a healthy scratch because he's been late to practices and meetings and things like that. That hasn't been the homecoming that everybody wanted it to be. That was really the only move of even minor significance that Jerry Jones did in the offseason. He didn't even play yesterday. And then just everything with Mike McCarthy. Now, I don't know where the Cowboys go from here. You're 3-5. Jerry Jones said after the game that they had, I think his quote was, several things in the mix leading up to the trade deadline. Do you anticipate in the next 24 hours that Jerry Jones will be active before that deadline comes and goes?
Yes, I think he'll be active because
what's he going to do?
Whatever he does, he's going to you know, mush it around in his mind, and it's going to be the thing to do. Jerry Jones is not the kind of guy that's going to sit back and let this go on. He's going to do something. What he does, I don't know.
Think he will. I mean, I disagree with you because the signs were there in the offseason, and he did nothing in the offseason.
He said
that he liked the team that he had, and that literally they didn't get any better. They brought in Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, great. They brought him back. Shell of his former self. Not the same Zeke that everybody grew to love over the years. Let's just face it. He's washed. Like, Ezekiel Elliott is washed. That's the only thing that Jerry Jones did. There's nothing to me that would indicate that he's going to do anything of significance before the trade deadline.
Oh, I get what you're saying, and I might be missing the point because I'm thinking rationally. Jerry Jones is going to stick with what he's doing because he's Jerry Jones.
And that's why
And maybe, you know something, I didn't look at it that way. I just looked at it that the pride of Jerry Jones, this is a man whose entire life is based upon the Dallas Cowboys. And he's going to do something. He's not going to allow this team to get worse, but it certainly has the capacity to get worse before it gets better. And he's going to do something. So maybe I was looking at it in the wrong way. You're looking at it and saying his pride won't allow him to do anything. And I'm saying his pride is going to make him do something.
I think that there is a major difference between should they do something at the trade deadline and will they do something at the trade deadline. They absolutely should. I mean, they should have done a lot in this offseason and probably blown the team up. Really, they were able to reach an agreement with CeeDee Lamb. Okay, great. They were able to reach an agreement with Dak Prescott. I mean, that's probably not the best thing that they could have done.
Not the best thing to do at the moment.
Not the best decision. We don't know how long he's going to be out. Dak's not going to lead you to where you need to be as a franchise. I just don't see that happening at this point. And that's why I said in our last segment when you brought up Mike McCarthy and could he be another mid-season firing in the NFL, I don't think so. He should be. He absolutely should be, but he won't be. Yeah, I don't see Jerry Jones making a move like that midway through the season. I think that it's going to have to play out. They could very easily lose every single game in their schedule. They could finish the year 3-14 when it's all said and done. They won't. I'm sure they'll get a couple more wins, but it will take something like that, I think, for Jerry Jones to make a move, at least at coach.
Can I throw one more team at you before
sure.
we get out of this
yeah,
segment?
Absolutely.
That I find fascinating, and I don't know why I should. We all know who they are, what they are, and how good they are, and that's the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
And I find the addition of Derrick Henry fascinating. It's a fascinating addition to a football team. And rarely do we see somebody come in, make this kind of impact. He's a big deal for this team. By the way, interesting little tidbit for whatever it's worth. His first touchdown of the game yesterday gave him his 100th touchdown in his NFL career. And I did not realize this, but I'm going to ask you a question because I didn't know this. But I'm going to ask you, if I was to say, how many NFL running backs do you think have 100 touchdowns? Because I thought there would be a lot
Probably not many. I mean, shoot, are we talking like maybe a dozen?
You're really close because I thought it was going to be more than that. It's 10.
Okay,
He becomes the 10th.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, where have I been? What do I not
it
know?
It makes sense because of the relatively short shelf life for running backs in the NFL.
That's probably right. But I thought to myself, you know, and I believe, is it right? I believe it's right. I don't have it in front of me. 102 yards or yeah, over 100 yards.
106 is what he
106
had yesterday.
So you look at that and you think to yourself, man, oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is a fascinating team. Would this team be the same team, the same wins? And by the way, I'm disappointed. I think everybody's disappointed in the number of wins they have. They've lost some games, let's face it, they shouldn't have lost.
100%.
But Derrick Thomas has brought
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry has brought so much good to this football team that it just blows my mind. He has been a real add, and maybe one of the most significant adds of this football season in the NFL.
I think it is the single most significant addition in the NFL.
Because
it adds a whole new dimension to the offense that they didn't really have before. And I know that they had, you know, Justice Hill and Gus Edwards and Dobbins. Like, they had running backs, but having a consistent bell cow in Derrick Henry and what he's done
right.
is just massive for them. On paper, Paul, the matchup yesterday with the Broncos was supposed to be the most evenly matched game in the NFL. Well, I mean, both teams are 5-3, but you can tell the difference in between those two teams.
Yeah.
You know, the Ravens blow out Denver 41-10.
Right. Yeah.
Tells me that Baltimore shouldn't have lost the games that they lost.
That's what it tells me.
It tells me that the Broncos are good, but they've still got a little bit of a ways to go, I think. Mm-hmm. In their growth, they've got some exciting young players and things like that. I think Bo Nix is showing that he could potentially be somebody in the NFL. That's all well and good, but man, the Ravens are, they're dynamite.
I'd rather play the Chiefs in the playoffs than the Ravens. Yes, I said that.
I mean, look, they can come out and they can punch you right in the face.
Bingo, that's what you're the Ravens right on top.
But they can also make some pretty backbreaking mistakes.
Well, that's true.
And that's why they're 5-3. That's a huge reason why they're 5-3. Yeah. But Lamar looked great, as he has for most of this season. He's on pace for potentially another MVP. Derrick Henry looks like he could be the offensive player of the year in the NFL. The Ravens rolled the Broncos yesterday, 41-10. You mentioned the Chiefs. We've got the Chiefs right here on our network tonight. In fact, the Chiefs Radio Network with Mitch Holthus over on KNSS, Monday Night Football, taking on Tampa Bay. You can listen to the national broadcast right here on KFH. So two different ways to consume the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And then, of course, Wichita State men's basketball will be over on KUIN. They're on the road at Western Kentucky as they start off their season. We're proud to be the home of Shocker basketball over on KUIN. But we're going to get into the Chiefs in our next segment, previewing Monday Night Football, what the Chiefs have to expect against Tampa Bay. We'll do that on the other side at Sports Daily right here on KFH. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Crestview Country Club. Fall at the club, there's still a lot going on, although I know over the weekend with all the rain, it wasn't like it was good golf weather, but there's still a lot of indoor activities that you can take part in over at Crestview, including tennis and just, you know, the restaurant, so many other things happening there at Crestview Country Club. And then holidays at the club are just around the corner, brunch experiences, there's a New Year's Eve event, youth activities, adult nights, and so much more all going on over at Crestview. And we certainly appreciate their partnership with us here on Sports Daily.
Oh, I love the place. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Tommy.
Always a lot of fun. Let's get into the Kansas City Chiefs Monday Night Football tonight. Of course, you'll be able to hear the Chiefs Radio Network with Mitch Holthus over on KNSS. And actually, Mitch was on Steve and Ted on Friday talking about the matchup with the Buccaneers, and I believe we have that audio ready to go.
We get the mercurial Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which should be interesting, and Baker Mayfield can doubt the Chiefs. Dislike the Chiefs, disrespect the Chiefs, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs, which has become a little bit of a battle cry of the kingdom. You really have to say the same thing about Baker Mayfield. You can hate him, but you got to respect him. It's Wes Montooth and Anchorman here, because just when you think Mayfield's gone and buried, he, like Rasputin, comes back. He leads the NFL with 21 touchdown passes. Huh. He is definitely ornery enough to win this game Monday night, so we got our hands full with Baker Mayfield.
Man, I love that because, you know, Baker goes under the radar now at this point in his career, Paul, you know, kind of going from the brink of not being in the league anymore to now leading a Buccaneers team, throwing more touchdown passes almost than anybody else in the league. And I think the Buccaneers outside of the Falcons are the best team in that division in the NFC South. And I think Mitch is right. It's going to be a task, I think, for the Kansas City defense to try to contain Baker.
Well, of course, the way that you will contain Baker Mayfield, and it's not like he's going to be a guy like a Lamar Jackson who can hop out of the pocket and take off and all that. He doesn't want to. He can do it. Don't get me wrong. He can do it. But that's not necessarily the game he wants. But the Chiefs, if they want to control Baker Mayfield, pressure up the middle, pressure off the rim. You know, those are the kind of things that you got a good quarterback. The old philosophy, it's still tried and true, and it doesn't change from quarterback to quarterback or game to game, and that is put pressure on a quarterback. If you want to defend a really good quarterback, pressure on the quarterback is the way to do it. So that's what the Chiefs have to do. Well, this game will go greatly with regards to how much pressure the Kansas City Chiefs can put on Baker Mayfield. You take away the step up in the pocket, and then you probably have a pretty good shot. As a matter of fact, what you want him to do is to pop out and then go run him down. That's probably one of the part of the game plan. Pop Baker Mayfield out of the pocket, run him down.
One of the things that I really, really like about Baker is he just has this mentality that, you know what, and Mitch alluded to this in his comments on Steve and Ted, he's going to go out and he's going to basically shove it in your face. He doesn't care if you like him. He doesn't care if you think he's obnoxious. He's going to go out there and he's going to leave it all on the line. He's been doing that since his college days and probably even before that. I've got a lot of respect for him because it didn't look like it was going to work out in the NFL long term for him. He's revitalized his career. And, you know, he found a great landing spot in Tampa Bay. And honestly, I wasn't sure that it was going to work. He was following Tom Brady, right? He was the new quarterback after Tom Brady retired. Didn't think it was going to work. And it's working.
Yes. Yes, and it is. And, of course, timing's everything, isn't it? I mean, yeah. How important is timing? Well, timing's everything. And you're exactly right. And, of course, he's got a little of this shove it in your face from his college days because he played at a football program at the University of Oklahoma that liked to shove it in your face a little, didn't they? I mean, that's sort of what the Sooners are all about and have always been about. And so that comes naturally to him. And you're right. But he is a good, solid quarterback. Is he Tom Brady? No, I don't think he's Tom Brady. Is he a good quarterback? He's doing really well for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But here's the thing. He's fit into a program where he fits and fits well. And that's part of the situation for him. He's doing the things, and they're allowing him to do the things that he does well. He doesn't do everything well, but those are the things that he can do well. He's going to hit the mid-range passes, the outs, the flats. He's going to hit the hitches. He does all that well. He's probably not quite as, and this is just subjective, but he's probably not quite as effective on fades and that kind of stuff. But he can still hit them, don't get me wrong. But he can control a football field with his arm.
Well, here's the thing about Baker, too, this season, is that while he leads the league in touchdown passes and he's second in the league in passing yards per game, he's also tied for the league lead in interceptions. So he'll make mistakes. Like they're going to put him in a position to where he can kind of go out there and be a little bit of a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. Now it does change things when you don't have Chris Godwin and you don't have Mike Evans, and he's not going to have either one of them. Godwin is done for the year. Mike Evans is not playing in this game. So your top two receivers, you're down. That might change things a little bit, but I think the Chiefs, to your point about disrupting him, that's going to be a key for them defensively, is to get him off schedule, to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Mm. He likes to get the ball out quickly. If you can get him moving, if you can get him off balance and all of that, that's really where the pass rush, I think, for Kansas City is going to be so imperative tonight for them.
Well, I think that's pretty well said. And, of course, here again, you know, the key to the defense for the Chiefs is probably, how about this for a surprise? Push in the middle with Chris Allen.
Chris Jones.
I mean, you get to a point with a guy like Chris Jones, if he gets the push that we think he can get, then this becomes a different game. This becomes a different game for Baker Mayfield. This becomes a game where, you know, you don't have that room to operate in the pocket. And even with that being said, he's no Patrick Mahomes on working in the pocket, that's for sure. You're going to see expertise working in the pocket when you watch Patrick Mahomes tonight. He's as good as anybody. Well, Lamar Jackson's pretty good too, but Patrick Mahomes, I think, is the traditional quarterback, the greatest operator in the pocket in the NFL. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but he's certainly up there if that's the case. But
I think that's a part of Mahomes' game that's been underrated, because everybody focuses on what he does on the run and how he can create something out of nothing. He can make these spectacular throws on the run, or he can run for first downs are just incredible, and, you know, just being Houdini in that regard. Because of that, when he does something in the pocket, you kind of gloss over it because you're like, oh, you know, it's just, he's in the pocket. He's just making a throw there. But I think it's an underrated part of his game when he's able to be in the pocket with time to be able to let things develop downfield. On that note, Paul, especially talking about downfield, this is game number 2 with DeAndre Hopkins in a Chiefs uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first opportunity for DeAndre Hopkins to be in front of the home crowd at Arrowhead
right.
in primetime on Monday Night Football. He's had additional time now to get acclimated to the Chiefs offense. If it were me, I mean, I'm gonna pound the player props, I think, with DeAndre Hopkins tonight. I think that they're going to deliberately try to find a way to get him significantly more involved in the offense in game number two. I think he's going to have a really big night.
Right. I mean, you have a Monday game that gives you an extra day of practice.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you right now, that's huge. That's a really good point. The props is maybe the place to go. I hadn't really thought of it that way. But what a day, what a difference a day makes for a Hopkins or somebody like that. Fresh into you know, and getting that relationship.
And they got him involved a week ago on the road. He only had 2 or 3 days to get ready to join the team. And then he played when they took on the Raiders. And he didn't have a huge game, but he had a couple targets and caught a couple passes. And I think that'll just be even more so tonight.
Yeah, but that wasn't the game where he needed to come up big. I mean, that was sort of like we knew what was going to happen anyway. I believe that was that type of game. But with this game tonight, you know, that extra day of practice, there's going to be – you're going to see marked improvement in the relationship between Hopkins and Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're just going to, because that extra day, and they're really focused on it. I would probably say 70% of all the passes in practice are probably going to him. With whatever they do and whatever routes he's running, whatever they're calling, whatever down and distance situations they're doing in practice, all that kind of stuff, don't you bet probably 70% of the reps are probably going to him. They're going to get this relationship, and this relationship has, well, it, quite frankly, it has the potential to be really good and pay off on at a high level.
Well, and I don't think that it's because they don't want to give the ball to anybody else, because they love Xavier Worthy, and obviously they have Travis Kelce. I mean, so it's not about that, but it's more about, man, Hopkins is still a game changer for us or for any team that he's on.
Yeah.
So the more that we can work him in, the greater level of success we'll have. I'm looking at his player props right now. The line for receptions, the over-under line, is 3.5.
Wow.
He's got to get 4 catches on the game to hit that over. I think he gets 4 catches. Well, I think he gets 6 catches tonight.
Yeah.
Or more than
or
that.
Or
I mean,
more.
You know, 3.5, I really like that line. I'm going to hammer the over on that. And then receiving yards, 44.5. He's got to get 45 receiving yards or more to hit the over. I think he'll do that, too.
He does that on one fade, for guys' sake.
He does that, too. So I think that just because of the longer time that now he's had in getting ready after last week's game, the extra day with it being Monday Night Football, the home crowd, all of that. Man, I love DeAndre Hopkins' spot in this game.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, he has certainly made, or I should say he has had the potential of making this football team even better, if that's possible. And, of course, we all know it is possible because of the injuries to running back, because of the injuries to and problems that the receivers have had on the Kansas City Chiefs. But he sure brings a lot to this football team. But thank goodness the defense is going to remain consistent. It's going to remain good. It's really going to be one of the better defenses, I think, in the AFC, don't you? I mean,
I think so.
I mean, there's always injuries and things that we don't see. But I'm just thinking to myself, this is a football team, you know, that's could rally. And could we have a 1972 Miami Dolphins situation? I'm serious about that.
Probably not. And the reason that I say that is just because that's not the focus of the Chiefs. Dan Israel last week, when he was on our program, said that, you know, he could envision a scenario where the Chiefs are 12-0 or 13-0, and then Andy Reid just rests everybody for the rest of the season to get them ready for the playoff push.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking about more than one game there. You're talking about multiple games. So I don't think so. Although from a talent perspective, sure, like absolutely. And it's going to – the first or the next big test, not saying that the Buccaneers are not a big test, because they are, but really the next big test is next weekend when the Chiefs go to Buffalo. That's really going to be, the major litmus test for them. There's no doubt about it. But this is a good warm-up. It's a good warm-up against a team tonight that they're competing for a playoff spot. They were a playoff team a season ago. Yeah, they've got injuries at wide receiver, but – Baker Mayfield has shown that he can get the job done. But where the warm-up is and where the Chiefs can really have a lot of success, Tampa Bay's pass defense is not very good. Like, they're not very good at all. In fact, over the last two games, the Buccaneers have allowed 72 points and 451 yards per game. They're giving up a lot of yards.
That is a lot.
So this is an opportunity, I think, for the offense for Kansas City, which, let's face it, hasn't been outstanding for a large portion of this year, mm-hmm. for them to break out a little bit and get ready for a Buffalo game next weekend.
And, of course, the one wild card with the Buffalo game is the weather. Now, this last game with the Dolphins and the Bills was interesting because, just looking, I never did really hear on the broadcast how cold, how warm it was, what it was. But I saw people on the sidelines working with shorts on. So, I mean, it had to have been fairly nice.
Yeah.
We're not
yet into December, January Buffalo weather yet.
We're not there yet where you could have 3 feet of snow when you drive to the stadium, right. which we have seen even just last year. So we're not there yet. But weather could always have a potential. And probably in the playoffs, if anybody has to go to Buffalo once the playoffs start, it's going to have a major deal. So we'll see about that. But you look at the Bills, that's also a game that's going to be close, but it's also a game the Chiefs are very capable of winning. But the Bills are going to be a different story than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight. There are some things that, well, let's just face it, the Buccaneers don't match up near as well with the Chiefs as the Bills do. And when I'm looking at the best quarterbacks in the NFL, I'm going to throw Kansas City. I'm going to throw the Bills. I'm going to throw
we got to throw Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in there.
The Ravens. I'm going to throw the Lions and well, there's the top four. Those are quarterbacks, teams with quarterbacks that are just unbelievable. Those are the guys that.
Do you put Baker on that list? I mean, no. He leads the league in touchdowns through.
No, I don't. But he also
second in the league in passing yards a game.
No, I'm not.
Why? I'm just curious.
Well,
the
a lot stats of interceptions
are there.
Too.
That's true. It's a good point. I mean, do you think Mayfield he benefits, at least before the injuries, benefited from having Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, two of the best in the league, to catch the balls?
Think that makes a difference? I kind of think it does make a difference. I think it makes a difference.
I don't think you can discount him. I think he's
Come
been.
Come on. You got to have receivers. If you're a quarterback, you got to have receivers. I mean, we saw how tough it was for Patrick Mahomes when, he was sort of playing with a depleted, core of receivers. You saw a lot of stuff going to Kelsey at that time when that was happening. But, I mean, you've got to have receivers. And you've got to have receivers who catch the ball and get after catch yards. Man, that's an art. Yep. That's not easy to do. In the NFL, that's an art. You got to have those kind of guys.
Kansas City, 9-point favorites at home tonight on Monday Night Football. We'll see if they're able to get that done and close out the week and stay undefeated. Of course, as I mentioned before, you can listen to both broadcasts. There are two different broadcasts on our network, the Chiefs Radio Network, Mitch Holthus and the gang over on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, and the national broadcast with Westwood One right here on KFH. Pre-game on KNSS begins at 6 o'clock. Over here on KFH, it begins at 6:30. Kickoff is around 7:20 to 7:30 or so tonight as the Chiefs take on the Buccaneers at Arrowhead Stadium on Monday Night Football. On the other side, the Shockers kick off their regular season tonight on the road at Western Kentucky, and they got some big news from the NCAA regarding the eligibility of one of their potential top players. We'll have that and a whole lot more as we continue on at Sports Daily on a Reaction Monday. We'll be right back. All right, let's get you a chance to win some free tea and coffee with HTO. All you have to do is text the keyword tea, that's T-E-A, to 20357. Each participant can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's the keyword tea, T-E-A, to short code 20357 for your chance to win some free coffee and tea courtesy of our friends over at HTO. Paul, college basketball gets underway tonight and tomorrow. A lot of the major teams around the country are getting going here in the next day or two. And some big news for Wichita State. Now, they tip off tonight on the road at Western Kentucky. Of course, listeners can hear the game over on our sister station, 103.7 KUYN. But some big news over the weekend. The NCAA granted Mate Bosnjak, the Croatian transfer, eligibility to play this season for Wichita State. He's a guy that has been highly touted. It was a big get for Paul Mills and the last one to join the program for this season. But there were questions about whether or not he would actually be eligible. The NCAA made the decision that he would be. That's a little bit different because there have been a couple of instances in the last few years where players like Teddy Allen and Colby Rogers were not given eligibility. They were denied that and had to sit out for Wichita State. So it's, I guess it's a breath of fresh air. We haven't seen this happen recently with Wichita State, but definitely good news as they start their season.
Well, there's no question you catch a break here or there. I mean, and by the way, you know, you never know what's going on with those kind of things, and sometimes those things can take a while. But I'm glad this is all set. Still early enough in the season, you know, he's going to be in the rotation.
100%.
He might even be in the rotation tonight. I don't know, but this is going to be a fun game tonight because Western Kentucky, don't sleep on Western Kentucky. If you're a Shocker fan and you think, well, this is just a regular first game of the season, it's going to be about against somebody that's an also-ran, this is a really good basketball program. This is one whale of a way for a Wichita State to start their basketball season. This is a team that brings back a lot of starters. It's done well in the tournament over the years.
And credit to Paul Mills, by the way, for scheduling a road game at Western Kentucky to start the season. I mean, that's not a cupcake game inside Coke Arena to get going. Like, it's kind of like jumping right in head first on the road to start things off.
Of course, we've interviewed Paul Mills a number of times over the last couple of years, enough to know that he's going to challenge his team.
Sure.
This is a challenge to his team. This is like saying, hey, no cupcakes. Not yet.
Yeah.
You haven't earned your cupcakes, so we're going to go on the road. We're going to play a really good basketball tournament team. We're going to play somebody that's really good. And, you know, this could be a great learning experience for the Shockers. Listen, I won't be surprised if Western Kentucky wins at home. That's a good basketball program. But I'm going to tell you this, a lot of good is coming out of playing this team this early, this good, this seasoned. An NCAA basketball team, tournament team, is a good test for the Shockers. And I think Mills is lying down the gauntlet saying, here's what it is, guys. Let's step up and react. We've been working hard. Let's see what we got. I'm going to test you right out. And I'm not so sure that's not a bad way to approach it.
There have been many times during this offseason after Bozniak joined the team that he was described as the best player out on the court in practices. And I know there was a closed scrimmage not too long ago against Oklahoma State that he was credited as being one of the better players on the floor. So he will impact this team immediately. That's the cherry on top.
That's right.
With this roster, with the starting lineup that Paul Mills needed, he provides a ton of depth in the front court. He's 6'9", 240. He'll be able to provide a good change of pace from Quincy Ballard. They could share the court at the same time if they needed to. This was a really, I don't think you can understate, this was a, or overstate, this was a really, really big decision that it's so great that it went the direction of Wichita State. This helps them not just in the future, it helps them, I would imagine, as soon as tonight on the road in tonight's game.
And let's go ahead and build on it with a win. Because this is not just your normal opening game. It's, you know, we've actually heard of these. How many times has the Shockers played somebody? I'm not sure. I've ever really even heard of them, let alone know where they're at or what league they're in. But this is a real test. I want to emphasize that to our listeners. This is a good basketball program.
Man, I'm really excited about year two of the Paul Mills era at Wichita State. There's energy, enthusiasm. I think things are moving the right direction for sure, and it all gets going tonight. We'll tell you when you can listen, where you can listen, and everything else going on our network coming up next on the other side. It's Sports Daily coming right back.